This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Wendy Gillette in Los Angeles. Former President Donald Trump hit the campaign trail in Georgia after a federal indictment against him was made public.
This vicious persecution is a travesty of justice. You're watching Joe Biden try to jail his leading political opponent. Think of it. This is like third world country stuff.
A new CBS News poll is out about how Republican voters view the indictment. Here's CBS News Elections and Surveys Director Anthony Salvanto.
Republican primary voters, they say it does not matter. They expressly say that this will not change their views. But what's interesting is the why. When you ask if they're more concerned that this is politically motivated or if there's a national security risk, they come down heavily on the politically motivated side. That's 76% of them saying that.
CBS News correspondent Robert Costa on how Trump is handling the indictment.
Last night, as the former president was traveling around the country, his aides and allies say he was defiant privately, furious about this indictment and pledging to stay in the race even if he is convicted of a federal crime.
A vehicle fire on Interstate 95 in Philadelphia has collapsed a section of the busy highway. KYWTV's Madeline Wright.
Police and fire got a call that there was an incident on the off-ramp of the highway. When they got here, they encountered heavy flames. They spent a long time trying to get the upper hand on the fire. There was heavy plumes of smoke billowing into the air.
Air quality from wildfires in Canada is much improved throughout most of the U.S. National Weather Service meteorologist David Roth.
In the eastern United States, it should be improving. There is a small area near the border of Canada with Idaho and Montana where it could get bad. And this is from the wildfires in western Canada.
Ukraine confirms it has launched a counteroffensive against Russia. CBS's Deborah Pata.
Ukraine says its military has stepped up the offensive, while the Kremlin claimed it had repelled attacks in the east and south of the country. Some of the fiercest battles are taking place on the outskirts of Bakhmut, where Kyiv says it is making steady gains, even though the city was only recently seized by Russian forces.
In European soccer, Manchester City has won the Champions League title for the very first time. That was how it sounded after the win at an Istanbul stadium. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's clear something needs to be done about chemicals in Wisconsin's soil and water known as PFAS. If a new study from Minnesota is any indication, removing forever chemicals from wastewater will be very expensive. More from Mike Moen.
The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency estimates it would cost $14 to $28 billion to remove PFAS from the water and biosolids leaving regional wastewater treatment facilities. The MPCA Scott Kaiser led the research project and says trying to add the equipment would be a big adjustment.
Those treatment systems are new, they're complicated, and they just take a lot of money to operate.
The study adds the new types of PFAS are more difficult and up to 70% more expensive to remove and destroy compared to older substances. Forever chemicals are found in a range of products and create serious health risks for consumers. They also can contaminate surface water, groundwater, drinking water, fish, and other wildlife. Sophie Green, PFAS coordinator for the MPCA, says given the magnitude of the costs, they hope the findings compel policymakers and manufacturers to focus on preventing these chemicals from reaching wastewater facilities in the first place.
Source reduction is the most important thing right now because installing these expensive and complicated treatment systems at all of our wastewater treatment plants is just probably not feasible.
She acknowledges it's still a major challenge in swapping out PFAS for less harmful materials since their use in manufacturing has been so widespread. There's also been pushback from some business groups when proposed regulations surface. Still, Green says there's hope in Minnesota, with the legislature this year adopting bans on these chemicals for non-essential items. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Walks has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek. The Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. A new CBS News poll is out weighing how Republican voters view the federal indictment against former President Donald Trump. Here's CBS News Elections and Surveys Director Anthony Salvanto.
The Republican primary voter, Donald Trump, is still on top, and this hasn't changed anything.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has confirmed his troops have launched a counteroffensive against Russia. CBS's Deborah Pata from Kyiv.
Operations have been shrouded in secrecy, with President Zelensky giving nothing away, saying earlier, "I'm in touch with our commanders every day. Everyone is positive. Pass this on to Putin."
In European soccer, Manchester City makes history, winning the Champions League title for the first time, beating Inter Milan 1-0. And the celebration quickly ensued in the stadium in Istanbul. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your Ethel,
calm down.
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving.
I'm complicated. I sure do know how to tell a lie.
Welcome back, everybody, to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Ooh, I'm jet lagged.
You're jet lagged. Is it kicking in?
It is kicking
in. And you
my
just had a fantastic dinner with your family?
Had a great dinner tonight with my family. We're at Bryant's on the Round, scallops, and they've got this like crab rangoon dip stuff and risotto and this amazing hamburger. He did have a soup that he debuted today, which was kind of fascinating to me. It was like along the lines of a cold potato soup, like Vichy Soise or gazpacho, a cold soup, but it was avocado based.
It actually tasted
really good, but I couldn't get past the fact that it was cold. It was very weird to me. I just love all foods, my favorite dish, which reminds me. So I was in, and you guys, and we got Josh Parent and Brad Scher in the studio with us from Whitetail Design Build, and we've been sharing some really awesome tips and keys as to how to food plot, how to get your place ready for the whitetail season. But I'm going to regress for a minute. We hunted Egyptian geese.
Aha, there it is. That's what I've been waiting for.
What have you you've been waiting for about it?
I see, like, just like you, I like to talk more about waterfowl because I suck at deer hunting. I suck at it, like horribly, really suck at it. But I love waterfowl hunting.
Yeah, we can get you way better than what
suck at it.
It's not a coincidence. So, yes, I may be one of the most top 10 funny people in the entire state of Wisconsin. But that's like whitetail hunting. Only the top 10% kill the biggest deer. And there's a reason for that. It is not coincidence. It's because they're good at what they do. You know, do you guys know Paul House? The guy shoots a 130 to 180 inch buck every year.
Yeah.
And it is not a coincidence that those people do that. So we're in South Africa. Now, waterfowl hunting in South Africa is not a thing. It is not a thing, but they've got these Egyptian geese all over the place feeding on alfalfa fields, feeding on grass fields.
And now these Egyptian geese are not the geese, the Canadian geese that we have here. Nothing looks exactly the same. Geese. They look like big.
They almost look like a type of duck, like a big. What do they kind of look like? Maybe a mix of a wood duck, kind of. They've got brown and green and white and
more
black.
Like a redhead, but fluffy.
Yeah, fluffier, bigger. So they don't use layout blinds. They stick a blind, like a stick blind, in the middle of a field. They put...
like tarp around that saw. Yeah, I'm like, what is that tarp is there for?
They put like... 10 decoys out of speckle belly geese. They're not even putting out decoys of Egyptian geese. And I actually brought 24 decoys with us, the silhouette decoys. And we put those out and it like doubled his decoy amount because the guy who runs is a guy named Diafon, great guy. He speaks Afrikaans as his first language. And he's a riot. To try to describe him, he's like Santa Claus looking with a brown beard with a South African Afrikaans accent. So it's very, put out the decoys over there. It's so fun because unlike here, the geese that are coming in are absolutely clueless. In Wisconsin, the geese are so tough because they're completely educated. They know. They fly over, they're like, that's not moving.
Yeah.
What's going over there?
That has a scratch on its forehead.
And they don't have any rules about like electronic calling or anything. So last time I was there, I was like, you should have a caller. He's like, oh, I don't know. This time we had electronic calls, map, 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 these geese.
What?
And they suckered. And they were coming in and absolutely finishing right in our faces. It was awesome. And we're getting 10 yard shots on them. Ethical kill. We shot 23. Three of us shot 23 Egyptian geese, and they're just beautiful geese. And of course, over there, they don't eat them. They're like, geese, gross. That's disgusting. Well, come on. 90% of the people in Wisconsin say Canada geese are disgusting.
This is true. This is very true.
Until they eat the ones we cook.
It is.
And I brought provider spices along with me to South Africa. And I cooked these things. I put them in a Chardonnay. I made them in a Chardonnay reduction. Ooh. And in the crock pot, but only for a couple hours just to get them a little more tender because I didn't have the sous vide along. You know how much I love the sous vide.
Love the sous vide.
So I cooked them in this Chardonnay sauce and I added some of the provider seasonings, the Sonora seasoning to that. And then I added just a little bit of balsamic vinegar, lemon juice, some garlic. And this... oh my gosh. It was absolutely like a delicacy. You guys like eating waterfowl?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I always had, geese growing up and wood ducks and mallards. And
wood ducks are the best.
I thought they were good growing up. Some people don't like them, but I always have.
I think a lot of it's in the prep. And people who eat the goose that I make, they're like, this is the best shredded beef I've ever had. And I'm like, yeah, it's Sky Carp. So, enjoy it. Enjoy that. Yeah. But that was such a great thing to be able to, and all the guides out there, they call them PHs, which stands for professional hunter, which I just think is goofy. So I call them guides, just like in the United States. The outfitters and guides are eating the stuff and they're going, holy cow, this is unbelievable. And I look them right in the face and do you think it's a coincidence that I am this fat? It is not a coincidence. It is because I love to eat, and all we eat is wild game. And if you know how to cook it, oh, man.
That's so now you got them hooked on provider life lifestyle.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, everything that you cook, every antelope. So cervids, which we hunt in the United States. We hunt almost all cervids, right? Moose, elk, deer, they're all cervids. Antelopes are not cervids.
What the heck is a cervid?
Well, it's a cervid. There are definitions for it specifically, but it's hooved. It's a type of so you got genus, family, species. So it's a genus or a family, and it's moose, it's deer, it's mule deer, white-tailed deer, coos deer, elk. It's all the North American species basically of antlered animals, and antlers are different than horns.
Yep.
Antlers fall off every year. Horns grow from birth until death. So antelope do not have the same thing in their meat, in the pH of their meat, that civets had. So they don't have that, what we call as a gamey taste to it. So when we make civets here, a lot of times you have to work to make sure that that gamey taste isn't part of what you serve. But the antelopes, I mean, that tastes like Wagyu beef. I mean, it's
never
almost,
have I ever.
Almost as good as Two Sleep Cattle Company beef. Oh, I'm just saying. Two Sleep Cattle Company beef is fantastic. Our buddy John then owns that. The products are fantastic. But I'm telling you, the meat that we make over there, they don't have a gamey taste. So when you shoot goose there, it has that, it can have that gamey taste to it, right? So what we did, you use an acid to break that down. And I know that this outdoor show ends up being a cooking show a lot of times, which I have no problem with because one of the things we stand for and talk about is the fact that in Wisconsin, if you're going to kill something, eat it.
Yes.
First of all,
100%.
Provide for your family. And secondly, you're not going to get a more organic source. I see you nodding your head over there, Brad, because you're not going to get a more organic source of protein than in the water. And woods of Wisconsin.
No, that is 100% true. So I got a brother-in-law from Nigeria, right? This is his first time eating wild game. I gave him some venison. He's like, I don't know about this, right? Huh. He calls me last week. He goes, Brad, I need more of that venison. Can we go get more from the butcher store? I said, wait till I shoot another one. But I said, I still got a couple roasts left that would get you when you get back up here. So, I mean, that turned him over. He's like, this stuff is the best, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's all about how you prepare it, like Joel was saying before.
Oh, yeah. My whole family is a non-hunting, non-fishing family. Like, nobody does. So Bill's the one that got me into it. And my sister would not, for the life of her, eat anything in our house. Not a thing. She's like, this is going to be something wild from the woods. This is going to be... She saw an egg hatching one time, and now that just changed her. But she'll buy meat from the store.
Oh, but they're so tender when they're young.
Oh, God.
Is that it? Well, that's
a joke. For anybody who's going to come after me, that was a joke.
But no,
that was a joke.
Yeah, no, that's no different.
Oh, Lordy. Good thing it's your birthday.
I'm still jet-lagged, I told you.
Yeah, being a guy that eats a lot of venison through the year, my kids... You hand them a beef, good beef steak, and they're like, Dad, this doesn't taste right. They're so used to eating that wild game.
Good.
And that's what they're all about.
I'm with you.
They'll take that venison backstrap or roast over.
You go eat a steak that's been sitting in a grocery store for a week, and prior to that, it was sitting in a warehouse for a week, and it was frozen for 2 weeks.
Yep.
There's no flavor to it.
It looks so different.
It looks so different.
Yep.
Yeah, that is something that's really important. And I have to tell you, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, my wife did not eat wild game, period.
At all?
At all. Nothing. She did not eat wild game. And now it's all we eat is wild game because I prepare it in a way that runs the gamut from people who have very, very simple palates and they want to eat something that tastes like shredded beef all the way to, you know, honey glazed, rubbed wild boar roast, and anything in between. And when you're eating organic and you eat organic over time, you start to actually crave the flavor that's there that doesn't exist in most store purchased meat. Absolutely. Not all, but most store purchased meat doesn't have that. And I love store purchased meat. Don't get me wrong. I love the farming industry.
Yep.
It's fantastic. But if you know how to prepare wild game, you're going to have a meal that people are going to, at the end of it, say, I cannot believe this. I don't want to eat other things than this. And I'm not a trained chef or a cook. I'm not. And that's all we eat in our house is wild game now. And now it's funny because I'll go to the freezer and my wife and I'll say, yeah, I know so-and-so's coming over. I'm going to give him a roast. She'll be like, don't give away all the goose. And I said to myself, wait a minute.
Nobody
says don't give away the goose.
She's looking at it. She's yelling at you.
She's yelling at me from the other room saying, I don't talk like that. No, she doesn't talk like that. You're welcome to come in here, honey, into the studio and talk. We'd love to hear you. She says, let me do it. Don't give away all the goose.
Aww.
Is that how you talk? Is that better? She's nodding.
It's a little bit better.
She said, honey, sweetheart. Don't give away all the goose, please. It's delicious.
Or you should have to go hunting more, right?
I just want to make sure that you're not giving away all the goose. the gooses that you have in the freezer.
The gooses.
She doesn't talk like that either.
I just feel like you're sleeping on the couch tonight.
I might be. I might.
If looks could kill.
Oh, talking about waterfall, she might have just flown a bird our direction. I'm not sure. Actually, she gave me one of the most awesome gifts I could ever imagine today.
Oh, what is it?
Well, she got me the hardcover edition of the Boone and Crockett record book.
Oh, she knows
and
you.
Now she's pantomiming through the glass again. Oh, yeah. She cricketed me a lunch bag with the provider on it. But then she also, she loves the cricket. I call it the grasshopper. So it's this thing that you can make, you know, you put words on and stuff and they think it's cool. But it turned out perfect. This is really good. But she gave me the Boone and Crockett edition, the hardcover edition of the Boone and Crockett records. And I have an all-time antelope that's in that edition that I shot with my bow. Which is
Wyoming?
Even really weird. 2018 in South Dakota. Camp Cook, South Dakota.
Just kidding.
Fantastic going out there to do that. But she gave me that. But the gift she gave me that was even better. Anastasia, are you ready for this? Anastasia's
riveted.
You're riveted, aren't you, by this?
I'm so riveted.
She told me she's going to help put together a plan to allow some of the mounts from my hunts in the basement.
In the basement? Outside of the man cave?
Yes.
But
because
I feel
the man
like
cave has run out of room, Danielle.
Feel like you can't. I'm sorry. You gotta get rid of that
Honey,
wall
why
or
don't
something.
You come in here and get on the microphone instead of pantomiming through the glass? What? I didn't hear you.
You're losing listeners.
I probably am. Let me tell you why we're losing listeners right now, because everybody loves my wife way more than
because
me.
Because you're making up voices for me. Telling dumb stories about the cricket.
I love the cricket.
The
you
cricket's
made those
fantastic.
Beautiful things for Violet's cheer.
Soup to
oh, we gotta
well,
go to
Vichy's
break.
Is cold too. Oh man, we're at break.
Why did it so happen
that's
to us?
It was so fun. Hey, listen, hang around. We're gonna do half a segment with you guys, and we're gonna trade off to my daughters. You're listening to Raising Wisco. We got Josh Perrin, Brett Scheer here with us with Wisconsin Whitetail Design Build. We'll be right back on Raising Wisco.
Cause someone else would have walked away.
Well, we're back. Raising Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that music was bringing us in from break, but maybe it was there, maybe it wasn't. You're listening to a show that is all about Wisconsin and the great outdoors of Wisconsin and making sure you get out there and participate in, because we have got some of the best natural resource conservation in the entire country. Just got back myself from South Africa, which is completely amazing in its own right. There's no question. I mean, it's life-changing to go to a place that's got, you know, you go into Wisconsin's woods, you're really fortunate if you see one species, two species, or three species a day. And when you go to South Africa, you're going to see on average 15 to 20 species a day, which is incredible. But it's still, you know, I came back, and the first day back yesterday, I looked out over my backyard and saw a pond and saw different ducks coming in and geese coming in and saw some whitetail fawns running around. And this state has so much to offer.
It does.
And that's one of the cool things about having Whitetail Design Build in the studio with us today. Josh Parent and Brad Scheer are here. And I think what you guys understand about hunting and about whitetail hunting is creating that environment that's going to make you a successful whitetail hunter. It's always been in Wisconsin. Yeah, you guys going up north. We're going up north to count down some deer hunting up north.
The 30-point buck.
But the reality of it is Southeast Wisconsin has got some of the best hunting, not only in the state, but in the country, in the world, really. Brad, Josh told us before the break that you are getting into 130, 150-inch deer almost every year, if not every year.
On your little 10-acre property.
On a 10-acre property. How on earth is that happening?
Yep. So
you know, we did get lucky. We got a great piece of property that we got about 6 years ago. We started doing a little management on it, just me and my dad, and we're going, you know, we can do better, right? There's bigger bucks here. We're getting them late in the season. We're getting them during those months where we have the bucks cruising through. So we kind of sat down. I got with Josh.
Are cruising bucks rutting bucks? That's a question I get, and I don't know the answer to that. And is the answer really sometimes?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes it's just that.
Don't they always cruise, though? Don't they? Don't you have just pass-through properties? Like the one I hunt? Like, will they just pass through, go to their bedding, go to their feeding?
Yep.
Like, aren't they all?
Yeah, but they're not. Yep. They're going to be passing through a lot more during the rut because they're looking.
Yep. True. So, very true. Very true.
The property we got holds a lot of does in a small parcel.
Okay.
So we're getting them neighborhood bucks come through there bedding on the neighbor's property. We're holding that food source close up to us, getting them does to bed in closer to us, which is drawing them bigger bucks into us earlier now. With the habitat improvements Josh brought in, we're getting better daylight pictures of these bucks coming in. Ooh. Earlier in the season. My son, 11 years old, second year out hunting. This year he shot 125 inch 10-pointer his starting buck.
That's awesome.
Man.
You know, best feeling I had as a father, watching him stick that buck.
I tell people all the time, I enjoy taking people, watching them succeed at hunting more than pulling the trigger myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, during the break, you guys brought up a subject and I said, wait, don't talk about it yet. Because the first time you talk about it, it's always the best time. You talked about the corridor, the path of least resistance. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so we were talking, you know, just looking at the whitetail. Josh brought this to my attention. I've been hunting since I was, you know, 7 years old, starting with rabbits and everything, working my way into deer once I got old enough. But Josh goes, you got to think of it like this. He goes, that deer is no different than you. They're lazy. They want to get from point A to point B.
Are you calling me lazy?
Well, I'm just taking assumptions.
Brad, are you calling me lazy? Because you hit that right on the head.
It's his birthday.
I am
not
a purist.
I met some of the guys
if we drive in with the truck and the deer's going to stand there long enough, I'm getting out of the truck, uncasing the gun, and taking a shot, okay? Listen, I'm just saying it how it is.
No, that's exactly it. Where they want to go through that path of least resistance and building them corridors, linking all the different key areas together, your mock scrapes, your water holes, leading into your food plots, your bedding areas.
People call them pinch points. Some people say pinch points. I think one of the tough things to do is to actually figure out where those points are, where those travel mm-hmm. corridors are. What is that where cameras come in?
Yep, so you're going to have your cameras over those areas bringing in. I mean, when you're setting up there, it's real key on how you're getting to those pinch points or that access.
What about these cameras? Are you guys dead set on cell cameras where it sends pictures to your phones, or do you still go back in the woods and check your...
We both use a variety of different cameras, okay, depending on what the property is. I mean, the less human scent you can get on there during the time, better off we are, right? You're keeping them deer hidden. You're keeping them used to what they're used to during the time.
You're not putting them on alert when they don't have to be on alert.
Exactly.
So, I use both cell cameras and cameras that I physically got to check, for example. But then, you know, the cell cameras are great. You know, have them on food plots, fuel, because I don't spend a lot of time by food plots, period. But then but when I'm starting to get pictures of bucks I want to kill on food plots, then I know in my head that they're using all them other habitat improvements that I've incorporated into the design. So then I know if a buck's showing up at this food plot right at dark, he's coming past stand 7, half hour before dark. I need a north wind for stand 7, and I get that wind and I go in there, and it's last 10 years I've killed my 9 best bucks in the past 10 years, if you will, by not hunting as much as possible, but just hunting when the conditions are right and knowing how the deer use the property.
You know how much I hear that from people?
What's that?
I hear that so often. Look, you want to kill a big buck, don't hunt it every day from the same stand.
Yep.
Know when the wind is exactly right and have patience. But I think that... I tell people that, you know, this turkey season just closed. I killed 8 turkeys with people. Yes. And people say, what's the key? Is it your decoy spread? What type of calling are you using? When are you clucking versus when are you yelling at them? When are you yelping? And the bottom line is the number one thing that kills turkeys is patience. Yep. And I think that goes across the board with any species you're hunting. We got to go to break already.
Oh,
but I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk today about the A-Team Adventure Series, which was spawned as an idea really kind of from this show and from the outdoor work that Danielle and I do. And we're working with the A-Team, and that's getting diversely abled folks out in the outdoors. Robin Kennedy gave me a quote today: the most ordinary things can be made extraordinary simply by doing them with the right people.
Aww.
And that is the key to finding the right people. Ted Nugent, take us to the break. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Many Republican lawmakers are lashing out at the federal indictment against former President Donald Trump. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan spoke on CNN.
This is as political as it gets.
Trump also criticized the indictment while campaigning in Georgia. He's due in court Tuesday in Miami. Air quality is much better in the Northeast after days of unhealthy conditions from Canadian wildfires. National Weather Service meteorologist Zach Taylor.
The weather system that was responsible for funneling all that smoke down the East Coast is starting to break down and weaken and also move away. And that is allowing the winds to be kind of redirected and dispersed some of that smoke across the country.
Confirmation in Ukraine.
President Zelensky said that counteroffensive and defensive actions are underway in his country, but would not be drawn on what phase they were in.
Deborah Pata reporting, CBS News.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's Ethel!
Calm down! Hey,
what are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once in a lifetime. I'm complicated.
I sure do know how to tell a lie.
Welcome back, everybody, to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Ooh, I'm jet lagged.
You're jet lagged. Is it kicking in?
It is kicking
my
butt.
And you just had a fantastic dinner with your family?
Had a great dinner tonight with my family. We're at Bryant's on the Round, Scallops. And they've got this like crab rangoon dip stuff and risotto and this amazing hamburger. He did have a soup that he debuted today, which was kind of fascinating to me. It was like along the lines of a cold potato soup, like Vichy Soise or gazpacho, a cold soup, but it was avocado based.
It actually tasted
really good, but I couldn't get past the fact that it was cold. It was very weird to me. I just love all foods. My favorite dish, which reminds me. So I was in, and you guys, and we got Josh Parent and Brad Scher in the studio with us from Whitetail Design Build. And we've been sharing some really awesome tips and keys as to how to food plot, how to get your place ready for the whitetail season. But I'm going to regress for a minute. We hunted Egyptian geese.
There it is. That's what I've been waiting for.
What you've been waiting for about it?
I see, like, just like you, I like to talk more about waterfall because I like I suck at deer hunting. I suck at it. Like, horribly. Really suck at it. But I love waterfowl hunting.
Yeah, we can get you way better than what
that, like, see, that's
I really
problem.
Suck at it.
It's not a coincidence. So, yes, I may be one of the most top 10 funny people in the entire state of Wisconsin. But that's like whitetail hunting. Only the top 10% kill the biggest deer. And there's a reason for that. It is not coincidence. It's because they're good at what they do. You know, Paul. Do you guys know Paul House? Big. The guy shoots a 130 to 180 inch buck every year. Every year.
Yeah.
And it is not a coincidence that those people do that. So we're in South Africa. Now, waterfowl hunting in South Africa is not a thing.
Oh.
It is not a thing, but they've got these Egyptian geese all over the place feeding on alfalfa fields, feeding on grass fields.
And now these Egyptian geese are not the geese, the Canadian geese that we have here. Nothing looks exactly the same. Geese. They look like
they almost look like a type of duck, like a big, what do they kind of look like? Maybe a mix of a wood duck, kind of. They've got brown and green and white and
more like
black.
Like a redhead, but fluffy.
Yeah, fluffier, bigger. So they don't use layout blinds.
Hmm.
They don't. They stick a blind, like a stick blind, in the middle of a field. They put
like tarp around that saw. Yeah, I'm like what is that tarp is there for?
They put like. 10 decoys out of speckle belly geese. They're not even putting out decoys of Egyptian geese. And I actually brought 24 decoys with us, the silhouette decoys. And we put those out and it like doubled his decoy amount because the guy who runs is a guy named Diafon, great guy. He speaks Afrikaans as his first language. And he's a riot. To try to describe him, he's like Santa Claus looking with a brown beard with a South African Afrikaans accent. So it's very, put out the decoys over there. It's so fun because unlike here, the geese that are coming in are absolutely clueless. In Wisconsin, the geese are so tough because they're completely educated. They know. They fly over, they're like, that's not moving.
Yeah.
What's going over there?
That has a scratch on its forehead.
And they don't have any rules about like electronic calling or anything. So last time I was there, I was like, you should have a caller. He's like, well, I don't know. This time we had electronic calls, map, 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 these geese.
What?
And they suckered. And they were coming in and absolutely finishing right in our faces. It was awesome. And we're getting 10 yard shots on them. Ethical kill. We shot 23. Three of us shot 23 Egyptian geese, and they're just beautiful geese. And of course, over there, they don't eat them. They're like, geese, gross. That's disgusting. Well, come on. 90% of the people in Wisconsin say Canada geese are disgusting.
This is true. This is very true.
Until they eat the ones we cook.
It is.
And I brought provider spices along with me to South Africa. And I cooked these things. I put them in a Chardonnay. I made them in a Chardonnay reduction.
Ooh.
And in the crock pot, but only for a couple hours just to get them a little more tender because I didn't have the sous vide along. You know how much I love the sous vide.
Love the sous vide.
So I cooked them in this Chardonnay sauce and I added some of the provider seasonings, the Sonora seasoning to that. And then I added just a little bit of balsamic vinegar, lemon juice, some garlic. And this... oh my gosh. It was absolutely like a delicacy. You guys like eating waterfowl?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I always had, geese growing up and wood ducks and mallards. And
wood ducks are the best.
I thought they were good growing up. Some people don't like them, but I always have.
I think a lot of it's in the prep. And people who eat the goose that I make, they're like, this is the best shredded beef I've ever had. And I'm like, yeah, it's sky carp. So, enjoy it. Enjoy that. Yeah. But that was such a great thing to be able to, and all the guides out there, they call them PHs, which stands for professional hunter, which I just think is goofy. So I call them guides, just like in the United States. The outfitters and guides are eating the stuff and they're going, holy cow, this is unbelievable. And I look them right in the face and do you think it's a coincidence that I am this fat? It is not a coincidence. It is because I love to eat, and all we eat is wild game. And if you know how to cook it, oh, man.
That's so now you got them hooked on provider life lifestyle
seasonings?
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you, everything that you cook, every antelope. So cervids, which we hunt in the United States. We hunt almost all cervids, right? moose, elk, deer, they're all cervids. Antelopes are not cervids.
What the heck is a cervid?
Well, it's a cervid. Is a there are definitions for it specifically, but it's hooved. It's a type of so you got genus, family, species. So it's a genus or a family, and it's moose, it's deer, it's mule deer, white-tailed deer, coos deer, elk. It's, you know, all the North American species basically of antlered animals. And antlers are different than horns.
Yep.
Antlers fall off every year. Horns grow from birth until death. So antelope do not have the same thing in their meat, in the pH of their meat, that cervids had. So they don't have that, what we call as a gamey taste to it. So when we make cervids here, a lot of times you have to work to make sure that that gamey taste isn't part of what you serve. But the antelopes, I mean, that tastes like Wagyu beef. I mean, it's
never
almost,
have I ever.
Almost as good as Two Sleep Cattle Company beef. I'm just saying. Two Sleep Cattle Company beef is fantastic. Our buddy John then owns that. The products are fantastic. But I'm telling you, the meat that we make over there, they don't have a gamey taste. So when you shoot goose there, it has that, it can have that gamey taste to it, right? So what we did, you use an acid to break that down. And I know that this outdoor show ends up being a cooking show a lot of times, which I have no problem with, because one of the things we stand for and talk about is the fact that in Wisconsin, if you're going to kill something, eat it.
Yes.
First of all,
100%.
Provide for your family. And secondly, you're not going to get a more organic source. I see you nodding your head over there, Brad, because you're not going to get a more organic source of protein than in the water and woods of Wisconsin.
No, that is 100% true. So I got a brother-in-law from Nigeria, right? This is his first time eating wild game. I gave him some venison. He's like, I don't know about this, right? He calls me last week. He goes, Brad, I need more of that venison. Can we go get more from the butcher store? I said, we don't sell it. I said, buddy, you got to wait till I shoot another one. But I said, I still got a couple roasts left that will get you when you get back up here. So, I mean, that turned him over. He's like, this stuff is the best, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's all about how you prepare it, like Joel was saying before.
Oh, yeah. My whole family is a non-hunting, non-fishing family. Like, nobody does. So Bill's the one that got me into it. And my sister would not, for the life of her, eat anything in our house. Not a thing. She's like, this is going to be something wild from the woods. This is going to be... She saw an egg hatching one time, and now that just changed her. But she'll buy meat from the store.
Oh, but they're so tender when they're young.
Oh, God.
Is that it? Well, that's
a joke. For anybody who's going to come after me, that was a joke.
But no,
that was a joke.
Yeah, no, that's no different.
Oh, Lordy. Good thing it's your birthday.
I'm still jet-lagged, I told you.
Yeah, being a guy that eats a lot of venison through the year, my kids... You hand them a beef, good beef steak, and they're like, Dad, this doesn't taste right. They're so used to eating that wild game.
Good.
And that's what they're all about.
I'm with you.
They'll take that venison backstrap or roast over.
You go eat a steak that's been sitting in a grocery store for a week, and prior to that, it was sitting in a warehouse for a week, and it was frozen for 2 weeks.
Yep.
There's no flavor to it.
It looks so different.
It looks so different.
Yep.
Yeah, that is something that's really important. And I have to tell you, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, my wife did not eat wild game, period.
At all?
At all. Nothing. She did not eat wild game. And now it's all we eat is wild game, because I prepare it in a way that runs the gamut from people who have very, very simple palates and they want to eat something that tastes like shredded beef, all the way to, you know, honey glazed, rubbed wild boar roast, and anything in between. And when you're eating organic and you eat organic over time, you start to actually crave the flavor that's there that doesn't exist in most store purchased meat. Absolutely. Not all. But most store purchased meat doesn't have that. And I love store purchased meat. Don't get me wrong. I love the farming industry.
Yep.
It's fantastic. But if you know how to prepare wild game, you're going to have a meal that people are going to, at the end of it, say, I cannot believe this. I don't want to eat other things than this. And I'm not a trained chef or a cook. I'm not. And that's all we eat in our house is wild game now. And now it's funny, because I'll go to the freezer and my wife, and I'll say, yeah, I know so-and-so's coming over. I'm going to give him a roast. She'll be like, don't give away all the goose. And I said to myself, wait a minute.
Who
nobody says don't give away the goose.
She's looking at it. She's yelling at you.
She's yelling at me from the other room, saying, "I don't talk like that." No, she doesn't talk like that. You're welcome to come in here, honey, into the studio and talk. We'd love to hear you. She says, "Okay, let me do it. Don't give away all the goose." Aww. Is that how you talk? Is that better? She's nodding.
A little bit better.
She said, "Honey, sweetheart, don't give away all the goose, please. It's delicious."
Or you should have to go hunting more, right?
I just want to make sure that you're not giving away all the goose. The gooses that you have in the freezer.
The gooses.
She doesn't talk like that either.
I feel like you're sleeping on the couch tonight.
I might be.
If looks could kill.
Oh, talking about waterfowl, she might have just flown a bird our direction. I'm not sure. Actually, she gave me one of the most awesome gifts I could ever imagine today.
Oh, what is it?
Well, she got me the hardcover edition of the Boone and Crockett record book.
Oh, she knows
and
you.
Now she's pantomiming through the glass again. Oh, yeah. She cricketed me a lunch bag with the provider on it. But then she also, she loves the cricket. I call it the grasshopper. So it's this thing that you can make, you know, you put words on and stuff and they think it's cool. But it turned out perfect. It's really good. But she gave me the Boone and Crockett edition, the hardcover edition of the Boone and Crockett records. And I have an all-time antelope that's in that edition.
Nice.
That I shot with my bow. Which is even really weird. 2018 in South Dakota, Camp Crook, South Dakota.
Just kidding.
Fantastic going out there to do that. But she gave me that. But the gift she gave me that was even better. Anastasia, are you ready for this? Anastasia's
riveted.
You're riveted, aren't you, by this?
I'm so riveted.
She told me she's going to help put together a plan to allow some of the mounts from my hunts in the basement.
In the basement? Outside of the man cave?
Yes.
But
because
I feel
the man
like
cave has run out of room, Danielle.
Feel like you can't. I'm sorry. You gotta get rid of that
Honey,
wall
why
or
don't
something.
You come in here and get on the microphone instead of pantomiming through the glass? What? I didn't hear you.
You're losing listeners?
I probably am. Let me tell you why we're losing listeners right now, because everybody loves my wife way more than
because
me.
Because you're making up voices for me. Telling dumb stories about the cricket.
I love the cricket.
The
you
cricket's
made those
fantastic.
Beautiful things for Violet's cheer.
Soup to
oh, we gotta
well,
go to
Vichy's
break.
Is cold too. Oh man, we're at break.
Why did it so happen
that's
to us?
It was so fun. Hey, listen, hang around. We're gonna do half a segment with you guys, and we're gonna trade off to my daughters. You're listening to Raising Wisco. We got Josh Perrin Brett here with us with Wisconsin Whitetail Design Build. We'll be right back on Raising Wisco.
Cause someone else would have walked away.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much greater than me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
If I can make a living from walking in the woods, you can bet I'd be sitting pretty good.
Brian Hunt fishing. Love it every day. That is what it is about to live in the great state of Wisconsin. And that is also what it's about to listen to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clavish and Danielle Fairman. Hey, Danielle, first of all, thank you very much for filling in for me and covering for me while I was in South Africa. That was awesome. And I heard back from everybody that you did a great job.
Thank you, Robin Kennedy.
Said you were amazing at the golf outing.
And that was definitely, I found out that I'm not meant to be an auctioneer.
See, I disagree. I don't think so. I think she thought you were better than I did.
No, baloney. Do you know how many times I put the mic down?
It kind of seemed like she wanted you back instead of me. So
I put the mic down. I'm like, what number am I at? I don't know what number I'm at.
You know what? That's okay. That just goes to show you that auctioneering is actually a skill.
It is definitely a skill that I do not have.
Josh but, you know Perrin what? And Brad Scher are here from Whitetail Design Build.
Yes.
You guys, right now, I'm going to ask you the last thing we're going to talk about today. If you're out there and you are clueless, but you'd like to hunt deer on your property, what do you need to do?
I mean, the biggest thing that I try to tell people is look at how the deer use the property and how we can enhance how the deer naturally use the property. We're not going to put a square peg in a round hole, but so many people set up stands because there's a trail here and X, Y, and Z. It's your property. You can dictate how they use that property with a well-thought-out habitat improvement plan, even if you don't want to hire somebody to construct that plan. I always tell people, draw out your improvements on a piece of paper and make sure that you can hunt that property and keep that property, keep the deer ignorant of the fact that they're being hunted.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest mistake people make is just overpressuring their land.
Fooling Mother Nature gets a lot harder when Mother Nature knows.
Yeah. And when people want to focus on the older bucks, you got to remember.
How do they get a hold of you?
How they get a hold of me? Right now, either Facebook, Instagram. Otherwise, you can send me email at whitetaildesignbuild@gmail.com.
WDB. Yep. Guys, thanks so much for coming in today.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for talking
about the A-Team Adventure Series with my daughters today for a little bit. But
very excited to have them on the radio.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to have these two guys back, though. They were awesome. They were excellent. Really knew their stuff, too. So
Brad fell at work. He's a safety guy at
one of my job sites. I heard you in the middle of the break trying to steal glasses from him. So
yes. It
doesn't... Hey, Violet!
Oh, hello!
Violet is here. My daughter, Violet, and... my daughter, Ella Rose. Ella Rose, I'm sorry, I have to say it. You guys have to check out the Sun Prairie Civic Theater. They're doing a Broadway version of Cinderella.
Oh, Cinderella?
The Broadway musical. And Ella Rose was cast as Cinderella and her boyfriend, Gabe Hanna, who... On occasion, we like better than our... No, I'm just kidding, honey. We like him.
Dad, this is not what we came on the radio show for.
We love Gabe, and Gabe was cast as Prince Charming.
That's
so, come on.
Too perfect.
Really?
That's going to be the... Oh, I have to go see. I don't think I've ever... I've been to one place.
Gabe's actually here. Hi, one. Gabe. Gabe's in the lobby waving through the glass. Yes, at least he's not yelling at me like Becky was.
She's incredibly excited.
So that's good. And my mom is here on my birthday. My 78-year-old mom?
Oh, good job.
I lose track. She said more or less.
She's 60.
She dresses 60. Like she's like a 30-year-old from the
60s
right now.
She's 45, you guys.
She acts 45. I want to talk about... Some of the things, when people talk about the outdoors of Wisconsin, a lot of times we on this show focus on hunting, fishing, and eating what you kill and catch. But one of the great things about the great state of Wisconsin is even if you're not a hunter or a fisher person, you can really, or an angler, you really can enjoy the outdoors of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And hiking, something this camping. Show has spawned is the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series. And what that is, those of you who know me, anybody who knows me knows I work in the area of people with diverse abilities, and that's something very near and dear to my heart. And Robin Kennedy and the Kennedy clan and our five loyal listeners out in Oconomowoc are a big part of that. And I'm really excited to say my daughter Violet has become involved in helping set up the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series. And what that is getting folks with disabilities into the outdoors. And the reason we're talking about it on the show is because we want everybody out there of any ability.
We sure
and,
do.
Diverse abilities, other abilities, any abilities, to understand that there is a place for them to enjoy the outdoors of Wisconsin. Yep. What do we got going, Violet?
Ooh.